Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for Tuesday, September 13th, 2016. The time right now is 7:03 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutabat, Rasmussen, Davis, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford is not here right now. Has anybody heard from him as stating that he wasn't going to be here this evening? Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen, you would be up next. Would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. There is a sign-in sheet. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Nobody has signed in to speak. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Thank you. And please state your name and address for the record.
Christina Paul Barker, address is 17631 147th Street Southeast, Suite 6, Monroe, Washington, 98272.
Short and sweet. You guys all know who we are. We're excited for the day to finally arrive. We just wanted to point out, you guys have been great, very approachable to work with. Jump Around Rule has been a staple now for over 5 years here. We're really happy about the past, the present, and we really want to bring in the future with Jump Around Rule. It's a great place for families to continue building bonds. You know, we're going after a new lease. There's no reason for us to leave the City of Monroe. We will continue to be a clean, friendly, safe environment for children and families to come and to build memories and bond together. Another thing we wanted to point out is, there's no TVs at Jump Around Roll, there's no Wi-Fi. It is literally impossible to not exercise at Jump Around Roll. That is what we're all about. One out of six children in America are obese. We built Jump Around Roll because we needed a place to bring our children to burn out energy. And it's a great establishment for the City of Monroe, and we really hope we can just have a yes vote. Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Okay. We're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen with a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business item number one. This is AB 16-114, discussion, transfer of property to the fire district. And this would be Mr. Feilberg. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. In front of you, there's a piece of paper and a folded up large piece of paper. We've been working with our attorney's office to develop the agreements for the transfer of the property to the fire district and the continuation of the interlocal agreement to have fire prevention services provided by the fire district. They drafted the proposed agreement all in one document, and we would like it to be split into two separate documents. It's sort of two different things. One is the transfer of the property, and the other one is the ongoing relationship for the fire prevention services that they're providing. So they are busy working on that right now. Basically, all the terms and conditions will be the same, but it will be split into two different documents. So if you see anything in the documents that you have any questions about, let me know so we can address those as they split them into two different documents. The large piece of paper is the fire department apparatus that was in existence at the time of the annexation of the city into the fire district number 3, and then that's one of the other things in addition to the buildings that we will be transferring to them. existing values have not quite been determined yet. Hopefully you'll have that by the end of the week, but the new percentages that are involved are in the last two columns that are filled out of what percentage is. That just gives us an idea of what the value is that we are transferring to the fire district. We also found out that the property and the buildings was owned 34% by the city and 66% by the district. Even though our name is on the property deed for Station 31 and their name is on the property deed for Station 32, there was an agreement that we found in the archives that said that the joint acquisition agreement, I think is what it was called, was a 34-66 split for the real property. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Council, and I'm sorry, Mr. Feilberg, what will be the next steps on this?
Next, there's a public hearing on the 20th of September, your next council meeting, to take public testimony in the transfer of property as required by state law when you're transferring more than $50,000 of property to a limited government agency. After that, at that time, there will also be the resolutions effectuating the transfer. That is what you choose to do. If there's any questions following that, we can come back on the 27th if there's information.
And when will the document be broken into?
Thursday. So it'll be in your packet for next council meeting.
All right. Thank you. Council members, do you have any questions or comments? Council member Cutterback.
So, Brad, the percentages, like, for example, the Ford Western States pumper, mm-hmm. when it said city 22%, district 78%, that just means if we were to sell that, that's the proceeds we get back
to 20%. Yeah, if there's the value, one of the things the operator wants to know when you transfer property, not at the actual value, what the value is, just so that you're aware of what you are doing as opposed to saying, you know, thinking it's not worth anything. So they'll come up with a value for what it is, and then 22% of that will be the value that we are transferring to the fire district.
Okay.
If the there's a call that come on the page, they've sold some of these apparatus since then, and basically the things they get rid of have no value. They got $602 for one of the things they sold, so you know, by the time they get rid of them, there's not a lot of value left.
Okay. And then in the packet, you have had the original agreement in the 2005 when it was annexed into the District 3. Or besides splitting it in two, moving forward, having an agreement that splits it in two, is there any other major changes from that original?
Well, there are many changes that we're transferring the property to them, but the functional operations of the fire prevention stuff remains essentially
the same. Yeah, they're going to cover the same services and all
the
of that.
The only difference is there is going to be a 30-day termination on part of the city if we choose to use someone else as opposed to 180, which it is now.
Okay. And do they charge us for those services?
Not directly. Okay. Some of the permit fees that we collect from developers or applicants goes to them, and we keep a certain percentage for our handling of those fees.
Okay.
So.
And transferring the property, what I had read seems like to be the cleanest, easiest. They're going to take responsibility, the maintenance, the liability, all of that as the property. And so, but we could have the option of not transferring it.
Right, the way it is right now is not a transfer. Basically,
I mean, what we're doing now.
That's what we're doing now. It's just that as we're moving, you know, kind of one step further away from the city, is just to get that out of the way. We don't have to worry about it in the future. And we are retaining in the agreement re-entry rights, as the attorneys call them, is that sometime in the future, the fire district decides that they don't want a fire station there anymore and sells it to someone else, we get back in and get proceeds from that sale.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brad.
Yes.
Thank you. Anything further? All right. Thank you very much. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. And the next item on the agenda is executive session. It's pricing of property. This will be for approximately 10 minutes. And hold on a second. Council members, Since we have an audience right now, would you prefer to take the new business first and then the executive session? Does anybody have any concerns about adjusting the agenda? That would mean that we would take new business, the garbage contract options, and the development review process, and the admissions tax, and then we do the executive session. We do have Jane here. Jane, what's your schedule? Are you able to wait for about a half hour? Okay. Is that okay with everybody if we move exec session to follow AB 16-117, which is the ordinance? Liz, did you get that? What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and... Okay, perfect. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and move on to new business item number one. This is AB 16-115, discussion garbage contract options. And this probably would be Ms. Nelson, right?
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to talk about this tonight. This has been a long time coming, and we've been in negotiations with public services since the beginning of this year. Janet Pritchard is here in the audience from our public services. She's been extraordinary to work with. She even took our conference calls while she was on vacation and been very dedicated, but she's always been great to work with. So what we think we have is a final contract, but we need your blessing, of course. And we'd like to bring it forward. The attorney is reviewing it right now as I speak. And but the highlights of what this contract brings is, what it would be is a 1% reduction to the rates that the citizens pay for their garbage solid waste services. Republic Service would start doing all the customer service, telephone calls, and they would do the billing for garbage services. So the garbage portion would come off the city's utility bill for water, sewer, and storm, and people would receive a separate bill from Republic Service for the garbage. And this step up in customer service, I think the customers will greatly appreciate, because right now the city is the middleman on customer service. So if someone has an issue, they call us, and we say, okay, we'll get right back to you, and we call Allied, and then Allied tells us something, and then we call them back, and then if they have a question, we go, okay, we'll get right back to you, and then we go and call. So you can see we're just the middleman. It's not good customer service. I think the citizens, they're always saying, can't we just talk to them directly? And we're like, no, you have to talk to us. And so I just think it's not good for the citizens, and I think they will appreciate being able to go straight to the source. I think Republic Services will appreciate it, because I think they get frustrated at times not having to go through us. I feel like we hold things up more than help things in that situation. Plus, they have very high customer service standards. Like, they measure things like how many times the phone rings before you have to answer it, and whether you've got it resolved in the initial call. And we don't monitor or track that kind of stuff. We don't have the staff or the resources to do that. They have a much higher standard and level than they do for that practice. The cleanup day in the past, we have paid for that separately outside the contract from the garbage fund. It's included within these prices. If the 1% reduction for the citizens, that's a $26,000 saving to the city. We still get our 6% admin fee that we put into the street fund every year. They will also do all for free the collection of all the litter cans along Main Street and downtown, those round ones, as well as the city municipal buildings, the police station, city hall, the wastewater treatment plant, public works parks building. Right now we pay for those services. They will be included in the contract for free. That saves the city a lot of money. The initial term is 5 years. Historically, we've done 7 to 10 year contracts. This is a 5 year with a continuous renewal every 3 years. So you're not being, you know, tied down to something. If you don't like it, we can change it. And we did include in this contract wording regarding labor stoppages to prevent what happened that last time and what to do in inclement weather. Just a bunch of contingencies that council had asked for. Back when we had that last whole debacle, that everything council asked for, we got it put in. And so I'm feeling we're kind of giddy with this, because it's kind of like win-win-win situation. The Republic is happy with it, city staff were happy with it, and I think the citizens are going to be happy with it. So I really feel like this is a good deal. I know I sound like I'm trying to sell it, but I'm just so excited about it. So anyway, what we're asking now is, if we have to talk to the Finance Committee a little bit about this, but we would like council now to make a decision. Do you want to go ahead with this, or are you feeling not so good about it? Or, you know, we just need some direction from council at this point. And if council does say go ahead, we can, even though the current contract doesn't expire until August 31st, 2017, Republic has agreed to go ahead, we can implement as early as November 1st of this year.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Hey, and is this going now to a franchise instead of a utility?
We're retaining it as a utility, or well, it's contracted services, I believe. There will be a code amendment. It's
okay.
Zach, we were asking Zach that, and the way he explained it, we thought, well, is it a utility or not? I think it's still a utility, but we are not operating a utility. We are contracting a utility out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know there was.
And that's why we're still able to get the municipal services for free. Because
okay,
if you have a utility, you cannot. Before, like with us doing the customer service in the building, we're operating a utility. And if you're operating a utility, you cannot have the services for free.
Well, and that's what I've been in seeing in here, that we're getting those services for free, which is great.
Yeah.
But then it's still a utility, not a franchise. That's just.
But we're not operating a utility. Whereas before we were operating a utility.
And even though we're
that's the distinction.
Okay. So it's okay if we contract out as a utility.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going the franchise route.
Because in the contract there are provisions for how Republic would raise rates in the future. Like if there are certain conditions, like if these, you know, cost indexes go up, they're allowed to raise it this much, you know, similar to the contract we currently have. But with a franchise, there would be none of that. They could just raise rates willy-nilly however they want, and we still have control over the rates.
Okay. And when you said 1% reduction in retail rates, is that residential and commercial?
Yeah, everybody.
Okay.
It's 1% overall. am I saying that right, Janet?
we did the retail rate in the last.
Ms. Pritchard, could you come up to the microphone, please? Thank you. And if you just state your name and.
Janet Pritchard, Republic Services, based out of Linwood, Washington, serving the great city of Monroe on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So we looked at the rates. So because there was a billing function in the city, we charged wholesale rates. And then there was a slight markup to cover the cost of doing the billing and customer service internally here. So now with that markup gone, we were able to review our rates. And with some of the efficiencies that we have, because we have a larger operation of doing that, there's some streamlining that goes with that larger size, we were able to offer more for less than what the customer currently sees. But, you know, we still will be compensated for that. I don't know if that answered completely.
So will the customer see a reduction?
Yes.
They will see a reduction. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, they'll be very excited.
I know.
How often do you get a reduction?
I know, but how often do you get a reduction?
Yeah.
It is coming down.
No rate increases.
Yeah, no rate increases and a slight reduction. So, Diane, I love it that we are not the middleman anymore, because I've been asking for that for a while, that we just streamline that and have directly the garbage contractor do that. I think that makes complete sense, much more efficient. We're not the experts in it. It's just not a good use of staff time, I don't think. I did have one question about the one-time windfall of the solid waste utility fund. So where does that go? It's the funds dissolved, so.
Yeah, there's a fund balance. It's actually closer to $1 million than the 95, and it's per the RCWs, that money goes to the general fund, which means it can basically go anywhere.
Okay.
Which means you can transfer to a utility, you can do whatever. That will be addressed in the mayor's preliminary budget that will be brought forward in October, and then it's up to council to either approve it or change it or amend it, you know.
Okay, but it doesn't have to, you say it goes to the general fund, it doesn't have to be used for a particular utility?
There are no restrictions on what to
There's
do
no restrictions on it, okay.
There may be philosophical things,
sure, but... Yeah, debate up here.
Yeah. I'm always arguing for the general fund. I know Gene says it's utility money, it should go to a utility. And so we have different opinions, you know.
Yeah. Awesome.
But
okay.
Legally, whatever you want.
Okay. Well, it looks good to me, so thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I'll move to adopt ordinance number 013-2016, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending Monroe Municipal Code, Chapter 5.03, Admissions Tax.
No. Okay. We're on Agenda Bill 16-115.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong window pulled up.
Direction. I was getting concerned because what you were reading was different than what
Thank
I was
you.
Reading.
I'll move to direct the mayor and staff to bring forward a final contract for solid waste services with Republic Services and associated code changes.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Davis to direct the mayor and staff to bring forward a final contract for solid waste services with Republic Services and associated code changes. So now we're to discussion on the motion. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Diane, again, thank you for this. We had a chance to speak or discuss this at the P4 committee meeting last month, and I think the consensus in that committee was very favorable. The one question I did have, and I'm not seeing it here, so maybe Diane, you can clarify, it was in regards to the termination of the contract. And during the P4 committee meeting, we discussed that because we're on a continuous 5-year, if we got to that 4-year mark and said, we need to figure something else out, we're essentially committed to the 5 years, or that rolling 5 years.
We changed that.
Okay.
In fact, it's more advantageous for the city now. It's more short term. Right now, the initial term they say is 5 years, but after the first 2 years, you may end it. And it was written notice, and after that, it's every 4 years.
Okay. So essentially a 3-year notice then, after having it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're written up on shift.
Okay. And I know in your feedback and your discussions on that, and correct me if I'm wrong, your feelings on that 3-year time frame just to get everything in place, if that was a direction that the council wanted to go down the road. I mean, you were saying 3 years was... kind of the time needed, or?
Oh, to do an RFP process?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you need a year to do the RFP, and then you need another year to do the selection, and then you need a third year to negotiate with the selected party. So it's a 3-year process for an RFP.
Okay. So I'm glad that part improved. I would definitely like to see the final contract when it's all ready to go and see all that, but moving forward in that direction, assuming everything else was we discussed in the committee meeting was there, I feel pretty good about it. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Just to get everybody sat down, I had a question about customer service.
Ms. Burchard.
Sorry to do that to you.
Oh, all right.
Well, okay, so we're switching over. You'll be responsible for all the customer contact.
Correct.
I know that someone will have an issue. Someone will come to me and ask me about it. And is there, like, a customer ombudsman if they run into a difficulty with you? Does the city get involved in any form?
Well, right now, the connection is with Diane and me, so if the city does have to get involved, quite frankly, we understand that the citizens are used to coming here.
Right.
And so there will be a transition time where we're probably going to be attached at the hip. We also have thought it might be a good idea to supply the city with a tablet We have a wonderful system of online bill pay. We have an app, and you know, everybody seems to have their smartphones now, and so we're assuming that somebody's going to just want to come in and pay their bill, right? So what we're going to do is supply the city with an app, so somebody here at Utilities can just help them download it onto their phone, show them how it works, so they can pay their bill. Because if they just give a check over to the city, then it has to be sent to us, and there's a delay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when people pay in person, it's because it needs to be recorded right away. So we're trying to get things coordinated. We know that there's going to be a transition. You know, it's, everybody has to think about things differently, and that's always hard. And just as a warning, just I don't want anybody to be surprised because people might just talk to you. We bill quarterly, and I think you're
monthly.
So people, there will be that adjustment too. My gosh, look at that bill. They said it was going to go down, and it did, if you look at it as a per month thing. So it's just one of those differences that we'll just all have to get used to.
So you'll have a transition plan, especially with that 3-month difference. I know that's going to cause some heart attacks.
We're going to be putting flyers in our newsletters and with our utility bills explaining it. We're going to put stuff on our website and blast out as much as we can. And like Janet said, public is giving us a tablet so that when customers come into City Hall and want to pay their garbage bill, we'll assist them with the tablet to pay their bill online here at City Hall.
Okay.
And so, because we understand that there's some customers that want to still come in here.
All right.
We want to address that.
Thank you. Address my concerns. Good job.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
You said now we're going to get two bills. Is there a handling fee that's going to eat up part of that 1% bill from you and bill from you? Some sort of?
No.
Okay.
No, the 1% reduction, those rates include all billing costs as well.
And if it's going to be a solid monthly rate and it's going to be charged every 3 months, can somebody pay it for the year?
Always.
We would be happy to work that out.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
He answered a couple of them there. I know last time we spoke, I mean, I like the idea of working directly with, but there are a lot of citizens that view us not as a go-between, but as an advocate. That was in that survey data that we got back, that they did like coming in and dealing with the city. I guess the part that I want to just clarify is, it sounds as that's not just a transition, because when we had someone from Republic Services in before, they talked about that we have payment centers or payment locations that we could make the city technically one of those if we wanted to keep that as an option for citizens, because they, you know, some of it is not because they need to pay it that day. There's certain citizens that just, you know what, come heck or high water, and my dad's kind of one of them, he's going to write a check no matter what. And it's not going to be through an app, and he wants to deliver it, you know, in person.
We're going to try to keep it as flexible as possible at first and see how it goes and see how many people we have. We will ask them for two checks, one made out to Republic, one made out to the city.
Okay.
But if the city, we will do whatever the citizens want at first. We'll advise them of what's happening and everything and try to work with them. But, you know, we're going to see what happens. And I have a feeling it'll be very small. It might trickle down to one or two people that, you know, may have a problem with it.
That would be great. I guess the only thing I'm just looking at is just from a resource perspective. You know, I saw in there that, hey, we're not going to backfill, that sort of thing. And we're making operational, you know, and decisions. That makes it a lot more finite of, you know, how long it's going to be until we're going to support it, as opposed to the statement you just made, which is, hey, we'll support it as long as we need. So just for your on that side of things. And then the other point would be, as far as the pay or the quarterly switch, we would definitely, it doesn't matter how many times we send, I mean, you know this, you instantly smile. We would need to staff up that day, I would think. This place is going to fill up like that.
That's the way it is for us on shutoff day. That's the way it is for us on, we have 3 different days during the month that are just, we're swamped. And it's just
Right, but it hasn't been every person on this one, right?
Yeah. We're going to try our best to do public outreach, get the word out to people that you will have a quarterly garbage bill.
Change is hard.
Change is always hard. But
I'm in his desk.
We've done change before, like when we switched from Waste Management to Republic.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, remember that? That was something else. I didn't realize how personal garbage was for people. It was a learning experience. So we've done change before. We know transition is rough. I think we're up for the challenge.
And that's part of the reason we went to November, see if we can get things started earlier so you can have the full year. We think there will be a couple of months of confusion, but then it'll be a full year of less aggravation. You know.
Right, from the billing perspective,
right.
If you're paying on the for the quarter.
Well, I believe, I just talked to my billing folks there, if we can actually do this on, depending on scheduling and what the council decides, as we get it going November 1st, the first bills will drop and be in people's mailboxes in December. So it'll be...
December what?
First part of December, so...
Just making sure.
I can't speak for the post office.
No, I'm just saying that immediately, anytime you have something like that, it's, you know, it's what a great gift,
right.
What a great Thanksgiving gift from the city.
Right.
Christmas gift from the city.
Sure.
You know, my bill just went up X amount when we know that's not the case, but
right.
There will be some concern, and we
have a need to finalize our transition plan. I'm working on a full city mailer that, you know, an introduction and all of that. So we've got a lot of plans in the works.
So on the, for the quarter, is it the calendar quarter? Is there an ops month quarter, or how does it?
It would be December. So it would be November, December, January would be billed the first part of December, and then it would be February for, you know, it would be on a 3-month cycle, not.
Okay, so not on a quarter, but on a.
Correct.
On
every 3 months.
Every 3 months.
Yeah,
okay.
Good way to put it.
All right. Anything further?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I forgot to ask one question. So if it's a utility, we're contracting out utility, customers will not be able to opt out? Because that was one of the things we heard from people, is they wanted the advantage to opt out. But so.
City Municipal Code in a whole different section, a whole different chapter than the utility chapters, mandates solid waste service.
Okay.
Solid waste service is mandatory in this city, and that's a decision council has made.
Okay.
And that was a concern of Republic Services, because right now our hammer that we have is, if you don't pay your garbage bill, we turn off your water.
Water, yeah.
Whereas that will not be the case.
Right.
And so part of our talks with Republic, they were concerned there's what recourse if someone refuses to pay their bill and all. And so we work with them that we, because it is still a utility, that we would help with enforcement for the very few troublesome accounts.
Right.
You know, we would either do some type of code enforcement.
Okay. Will people have the option to put it on kind of a leave of absence if they're gone for 6 months, or will they still have to pay garbage when they don't have garbage out on the street being picked up?
I don't know. That's Republic.
Well, I can't remember the specifics on that one, but we'll have to.
Okay. That was a question that came up from residents. You know, why am I paying garbage when I've been gone for 4 months? I haven't put
my
garbage out.
Like any utility, you pay into a system.
Right.
And, you know, like the sewer system, you're going to
right.
still have to pay your sewer and all
right.
that. So I'll double check what we agreed on in the budget.
Yeah, because right now, you still have to pay your garbage right now.
No, I know that, and that was when we had some people come and speak about garbage. One of the questions they brought up is, I've been gone for 6 months, but I still get a... And so explaining to them that they pay into a system
right.
doesn't necessarily make logical sense to a customer who said, you didn't pick up my garbage.
Right.
You didn't supply me with a service, but I'm paying for it anyways. So that's a question that has come up to me and has come up here before council a few times. So if I could
we'll
get a
check what we've been working on.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
I would, I won't suggest, but I'm going to echo what Councilman Gamble was talking about. November and December are tough months for people to get get a new bill, a new kinds of bill, that if there's a way to make it on the yearly quarterly system, January, February, March, April, May, etc., you might be better served to do it that way. I'm not telling you to do that, I'm just saying. I hear what Jason has said, I know what people think around the holidays. I guess they feel the same way around tax day, too. But just a thought.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I don't see any other lights. There is a motion on the table to direct the mayor and staff to bring forward a final contract for solid waste services with Republic Services and associated code changes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Also, please let the record show that Councilmember Hanford entered chambers at about 7:08 or so.
Sorry, double trains.
Okay. All right, next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 16-116, Development Review Process Streamlining and Proposed Amendments to the City Council Rules of Procedure Regarding Ordinance Readings. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm excited to bring this agenda bill before you, but I'm just not as animated as Diane, so let me focus on the requested action. So the requested action on this agenda bill is to seek the council's approval of a motion that would amend the council rules of procedure so that final plats, and final plats only, would require just one reading as opposed to the two-touch, two-reading process that the council rules require right now. And what this request responds to is several things. One is just a general effort to improve our permit processing and streamline our development review process, to make our process more efficient and more nimble. And I'm a big believer that in many ways, when we improve our permit processes for our customers, we're actually also saving staff time as well. So we have a series of menu of items that we eventually want to bring to you. This one is being brought to you because it's probably one of the easiest ones to at least bring to your consideration, because it requires an amendment to the rules of procedure. It doesn't require staff to prepare an ordinance and have legal review and then bring that forward to you. So the second item that this relates to in part is just a response to our customers. Back in March, we held a permit stakeholder committee. We invited developers to come on in and talk about our development review process. The number one item that they talked about as a priority that they hope the city would work on is anything related to code or procedures that would improve timelines, and this does that. And then the third item, included as an attachment to this agenda bill, as attachment 2, I believe, is a map. And I've been looking for an excuse to give this map to the council. It's a map that's been prepared recently. It identifies all the plats that are taking place in the city right now, including final plats that have taken place over the last 2 years or so. So we've actually had 4 final plat applications that have been approved in the last 2 years. There are 9 preliminary plats taking place right now in the city, and we expect to have 3 more preliminary plats in terms of applications relatively soon. So we're hearing from our customers, especially those that deal with plats, that they are looking for any opportunity throughout this entire process to expedite the review and processing of their application. And we're also hearing specifically about the final plat process. And so this requested action responds to that as well. Just in general, last month, staff took a series of ideas to the Legislative Affairs Committee. One of them was to just amend the council rules to only require one reading for a variety of different land use applications, including code amendments and rezones and final plats. The discussion of the Legislative Affairs Committee was specifically to try to limit this to final plat applications. And part of the reason for that is just very quickly, the plat process involves preliminary plat, final plat. Preliminary plat, hearing examiner holds a public hearing, takes public testimony, makes a recommendation to council. That's the opportunity for council to affect important substantive items, the number of lots, density, parks, street layout. And then the developer will go out after the preliminary plat approval and begin to build the infrastructure, put the streets in, put the utilities in, survey the lots. And then once that is done, it comes before the council for final plat approval. And really, a final plat does not require a public hearing. All you as a council are doing are reviewing the plat to make sure it meets the requirements, the conditions of the preliminary plat, and making sure that the infrastructure is put in or has been bonded for. So it's less of a discretionary item, the final plat process, as much as it is you're just checking boxes to make sure the conditions of the preliminary plat have been met. And so Another reason that developers are interested in expediting the final plat process is that we as a city, by the time an application gets to the final plat process, the developer has building permits that they're ready to submit to the city. And we won't accept the building permits until at least the final plat has been approved. And so, from the developer's standpoint, the sooner they get through the final plat process, the sooner they can make the applications for other building permits, and we can begin to review and process them. And so, with that, again, requested action for final plats only, to amend the council rules procedure to require just one reading. And I'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Council. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. No questions, but thanks for explaining that again. We did have a lively discussion in the legislative committee about this and specifically narrowed it down to just this one incident or just this one case. So we're not dealing with the possibility of it being affecting some other ordinance or some other issue. Having said that, I will move to amend City Council Rules of Procedure Section 7.4, Types of Council Action as presented in Attachment 1, to allow for ordinances accepting final plats to be adopted upon first and final reading.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Kent, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for the requested action. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Cuddeback.
So, Dave, it never happens where from the preliminary plat and all that review and all that, are there ever any changes when that final plat is approved?
There can be changes, but there are processes that the applicant would have to go through to get those changes done.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure
that. You may see one less lot or something like that, but overall, in terms of the basic layout and the provision of the streets and utilities, it's really, really the exception. You would find any difference, any significant difference.
And who determines that they met the requirements of the preliminary plat, like the final plat meets that to city staff?
City staff. Okay. Before it even comes to you.
And then you would come and make that recommendation to approve the final plat?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other discussion? All right. Seeing none, there is a motion to amend City Council Rules of Procedure, Section 7.4, Types of Council Action, as presented in Attachment A, to allow for ordinances accepting final plats to be adopted upon first and final reading. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is under Final Action Number 1. This is AB 16-117, Ordinance Number 013-2016, amending MMC 5.03, Admissions Tax, final reading. Ms. Nelson.
I really don't have anything to add to this particular topic. I think this has really been thoroughly gone through by council. A lot of thought has been put into it. I commend council for really working hard on this and digging into the and contemplating, the going through the nuts and bolts of it. I really don't have anything to add. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you. Council. Councilmember Cuddeback.
So, Diane, on the last page, attachment 2, were these questions you were asking council, some items to consider?
Oh, this document is a carryover from about three council meetings ago,
okay.
Three discussions ago.
Okay, and that might have been one I missed. Did we come to some resolution on those three questions?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Can you tell me what that
is? Oh, okay. They are not included.
Okay.
They are excluded.
Okay. Because it would seem to me to include those, we'd have to change it to say, that final on the admissions tax levy, the 5.03.020 on number 14, it would be you'd have to add the word participate in those events.
These
are people who are participating in those events, not just coming in to watch. We don't charge for that. So, okay.
Thank you. Anything further, council?
Oh,
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Sorry, let me find it.
We're all scrolling.
Make a motion to, or move to adopt ordinance number 013-2016, ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 5.03, emission tax, updating and clarifying the taxable activities subject to said chapter, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Cutaback. I'm sorry. But we're going to call you Councilmember Rasmussen this evening. We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, the motion is to move to adopt ordinance number 013-2016, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 5.03, admission tax, updating and clarifying the taxable activities subject to said chapter, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
That's what I said.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much for all of your work on this. And
thanks, Diane.
Thanks.
We will move on to the next item.
Thank you guys so much. It's been a crazy roller coaster.
We'll go ahead and finish up. So, Council, I just noticed that the next item on the agenda I anticipate to be fairly short. We'll go ahead, and if that's not the case, I'm sorry, Jane. So we're going to go on to final action item number two, unless there's objection. This is AB 16-118, approval of proposed Blueberry Lane North Kelsey Street traffic study. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you, sir. As you may recall, we've been talking about what to do with the intersection of Blueberry Lane and North Kelsey Street. We had, I think, six different options. One of the things that was questioned out there is how often does the bad behavior happen, and what happens if we do something to prohibit left turns one direction or the other? Where do those people go, and how will that impact other streets within the city? So we contacted our standard traffic consultant who actually gave the comprehensive plan and transportation plan update, and to get them to come out and do video surveillance of that intersection for a work week, and then analyze the traffic that's going through there and where it's expected to go if there were left turn prohibitions. It would cost approximately $7,675. And if the council would like to do that, the authorization for that tonight, that money coming from the contingency fund. And then that will be done in the near future, and then we get that report in the middle of October, and then that would be presented to the council for determination of what, if any, of the six options would be undertaken. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, and I just will go ahead and share with council, I feel that we need to get a little bit more information about how traffic is actually working at this intersection. This is a way to do it. So it's a proposal that I support doing, just to make certain that whatever it is that we do out there has been informed by the traffic study. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I'll move to approve use of contingency fund for the Blueberry Kelsey traffic study in an amount not to exceed $8,000.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Camp and a second. Was that from Councilmember Rasmussen? Councilmember Davis. Okay. Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Scarborough.
You mentioned that this traffic report will be done by mid-October.
Yes.
And that you'll bring it to the council then. Were we not going to have a public hearing at some point? Does that come after this?
Yes, sir.
That would be after that, yes.
Yes, sir. So
we don't have to prove anything until we've heard from the public.
Correct.
Right. The intent here is to collect the data so that our engineers can go back, look at the intersection, and have that information as part of a community meeting that we'll have to get some outreach on what the data says, what it is we're looking at before moving forward.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I just want to comment on this and just say thank you for bringing this to us. I think it's, we heard loud and clear that this is a very spirited and important area and affects a lot of people. So the more information we know, the better equipped we are to have the more long-term answer. So do appreciate this.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I agree. I guess the only question I have is, don't we have some sort of traffic data already for that? When was the last time it was updated?
2015. It says how many cars are making right turns, left turns, things like that. But it didn't analyze what would happen if we...
Okay, so the traffic study stuff we were referencing before was just on counts. It wasn't... This one specifically addresses...
you can't think of left turn up.
Or be...
to Kelsey, where is it anticipated people will go? They go up to 179, so they go down King Street and come out Columbia, that sort of thing.
Gotcha. All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, there's a motion on the floor. The motion is to move to approve the use of contingency fund for the Blueberry Kelsey traffic study in an amount not to exceed $8,000. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to go ahead and move into an executive session now. And the executive session is regarding pricing of property pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection C, for approximately 10 minutes with action to follow. Thank you, everybody. To add it. Okay, sounds good. All right, we're back in open session. Is there a motion? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Make a motion to move to accept a letter of interest with Irwin Development Group for a portion of Lot 5 at North Kelsey.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Move to direct the mayor and staff to bring a final purchase and sale agreement with Irwin Development Group for a portion of Lot 5 at North Kelsey.
Second.
Okay, the first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion?
Don't be calling me.
Okay, all those... Okay, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. All right, thank you all very much. And we are now moving into council member reports. We'll start off with the Community Transit Board and Board of Directors meeting.
Thanks,
Councilmember. Thank you very much, Shane. Councilmember Cutterback.
I was out of town on that. It was right before Labor Day.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Councilmember Rasmussen for the Snohomish Health District Board of Directors.
Thank you. Big meeting tonight. Unfortunately, we weren't able to make too many decisions for lack of quorum, but we had a great presentation from Ruckle House, which is the organization that the health district reached out to and hired to assess the community members and the board and try to kind of determine what is lacking. And, you know, the hope was to get a little more clarification on, you know, which direction the health district should move, whether it go keep its own separate entity or move in a different direction, such as being absorbed by the county. The packet and the presentation was emailed out to everyone, so you can take a look at it. But ultimately, they're based off of the interviews and that they did. They felt that keeping it as its own entity was probably the better way to go, based off of the feedback that they got. But ultimately, it's up to the board. And after a discussion this afternoon, obviously we couldn't give firm direction of which way to go, but it was obviously that we needed to address our governance within the board. Having only 7 members present that or tonight, and it sounds like this has been an issue for many, many years for that committee or that board. So we'll probably hear more about that coming up as far as how to address that issue of absentees and not being able to be there for one reason or another. So disappointing that important discussion wasn't able to be carried out better than it should, but it was good information that the Ruckle House provided. They ultimately interviewed 73 people through a 3-month span. and it's for the health members, community members, health district staff, healthcare providers. I think even child care providers, the EL licensors. I mean, it was just a full gamut of vested interests that they interviewed. So, more information coming out on that, and that really took up the 2.5 hours that we were there. The health district's attorney retired after 35 years, and a new one was slated to come on, but again, couldn't officially welcome him on, but Steve's just done an awesome job in the short time that I got to know him there on the board, so certainly wish him well. Any other questions that come up from what you're seeing in the packet, feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email, but yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. They were here talking about funding, the per capita funding. Was there an update on that?
There was not a discussion with amongst the board that we had today, although I did reach out to some of my peers prior to the meeting, and you know, there's definitely some that are gung-ho and eager to do it. Some have slated or earmarked money in their budgets next year for it. Others are more similar to kind of what I heard from our council as well as Sultan. You know, what's kind of what's in it for us. Let's see what we get before we pony up the cash. So a little more resistance by some. So so nothing new on that. I think I have a feeling that the Ruckel House or the transition discussion is probably going to take some priority over the funding, which is unfortunate because it's got staff on hold through budget and other pieces moving forward that kind of in that holding pattern. So,
what do you mean by staff on hold during budget?
So it was made very clear tonight that, you know, going into the budget season, the health district staff is trying to determine, are we going to go, what direction are we going to go? Are we going to go our own entity? Are we going to go to the health district? Are we going to get funding from cities? Are we not? And so they're kind of, they don't know.
Okay.
And so that's having an effect on what they do.
Okay, right. And when do they put together their budget? Because most of the cities are going to be doing their budgets. They're due by the end of the year. So it's, even though people might talk about being willing to do something like this, it really comes down to the final approval of a budget. So when do they do their budget? Is it at the same time that we do ours, do you know?
It is at the same time as they do ours, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Does anybody else have any questions? All right, so let's go ahead and go down the line. Councilmember Gamble.
Just welcome back. I haven't seen you guys since the fair. It was a great parade. Just had a great time. It was great to have everybody out. And school's back in session. There was quite a few kickoffs, the CLE, all that type of stuff. And personally got away for a few days east of the mountains to kind of send off the summer, and excited to be back in the next several months and budget and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know, really nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
The budget is exciting. That's what I just
heard. You're talking to the chair of the finance.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Robert's rules does the same thing for me.
Yeah.
I'd like to echo that. Just thanks, everybody. There were so many activities and events going on in the last couple of weeks. It was impossible to attend them all, and a great job, everyone, on putting them together. Last Sunday, I had an opportunity to talk to a few people at the skate park, and it was interesting. One gentleman drives 45 minutes, he said every day, and I don't know. He drives 45 minutes every day just to use that one skate park. He really likes it. Another gentleman was there and was he started going there because of a picture that a friend of his sent. And he was so impressed by it, he decided to start doing it. So great job in the skate park. It's really popular. The big question they have now is, when are they going to get lights? And I told them I didn't know. I don't remember if we even discussed lights. Did we?
No,
city parks.
Yeah.
Okay. I said I'd mention it. But anyway. So those are the high points. It's been an exciting time, and we've got birds flying in. Life is good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Parade was a blast as always. Nice work on the car. So, Patsy.
I sent a text right after council that night.
Nice.
Is that how?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I just want to thank council for agreeing to the updated and cleaner banners for our cars. I mean, I thought they all looked great, and it was all actually really awesome to have all of us out there once again. So, fun event. Kind of looping back to health district stuff, I do want to mention that I received a call from Kevin, I can't remember his last name, but with the health district environmental department. Actually, two of them last week. One to say Sky Valley Ed, moving along, not sure if it was going to be ready. And then the next day, hey, great news. The school is done, and it's going to be open on time. So very, very thrilled to hear that. I'm sure you heard the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So excited to hear that and talk to Jeff Getchell at the meeting today. And he was very much relieved. So, once again, I just got to send kudos out to our school district staff. Certainly the families involved with that. I mean, very trying time. Lots of work that went into it. I think the health district said they spent about $25,000 through the whole project, whereas the school district was well over $1 million doing all the repairs and making the school safe. So kudos to everyone involved with that. I'm sure everyone saw there's an opioid and heroin forum that's coming up. Actually, four different locations, one being this Thursday in Lake Stevens, which will be the closest to Monroe. I'm certainly going to try to make one of them if I can get that in, but I think those would be good to have. I saw that flyer.
We will be putting that on our Facebook page also, just get the info out there.
Perfect. And then I'm sure Chief is going to talk more about it, but remind everyone that there's a big football game at the high school on Saturday. Police are trying to reclaim their or protect their title.
Well,
you're getting pulled over.
It's 9-on-9 this year, so it's gonna be bigger, faster. Well, hopefully faster, but a lot more fun. So, that's all I have.
Sounds good. Thank you, Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, it was. The parade was wonderful as always. Had a great time attending the parade appreciation dinner and just realizing what a community event that really is. So it's very good to see. It was very satisfying for me, gratifying to have all of us in the parade again to show that unity and that support. It was very satisfying to be watching after we rode through the parade and then be watching others go through the parade and to see the vans purchased by Employees Community Fund of Boeing and Cascade, our church, and East County Senior Center van, same thing. And so it's just very gratifying to see that this is truly a strong community that's doing things right. And so it's good. Very, very gratifying. The fair was incredible, as always. And then last week I attended the United Way of Snohomish County breakfast for their annual September kickoff. Yep. And then just mindful of the 9/11 memorial this last weekend, and so appreciate all the men and women in our armed forces, and then of course right here in Monroe PD, and what they do for us, and nothing but gratitude for them. And Chief, it's good to see you back. Glad to see you. We were praying for you. So
thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. Councilor Cuddeback.
Echo that. The fair was great. It would be interesting to get a report. I don't know if they send that to us. Sales, record numbers. I'd be really curious if we could ask for that and see, because it seemed like the traffic was busier, and it seemed like when I went, the lines were crazy long, and we had some good stretch of weather. I know we had a couple days that rained, but probably for the first 5 days it was beautiful, and then the last weekend was gorgeous. So
we had record days the first 34 days. I know that from the county.
Yeah.
And I forget what the exact numbers were, but the first 3 or 4 days were record days.
I think that would be interesting for us to know on a yearly basis, and maybe get that for our community to know, that this is the amount of people that came through. And I mean, it seemed like a record year to me just by traffic and by being there at the fair. I haven't been in lines that long on the day I went for a few years now, so it seems really busy. In the last few weeks, we've had so many events, I haven't been able to make a lot of them. I was busy up in San Juan Camino. We opened a new YMCA for the community, so the last month I've been up there a lot, so I've missed some events and community things, so I've even signed up for stuff and not been able to make it, so I apologize for that, the dinner, the fair dinner, and some other things, so, but that's open, so.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Not much. I just wondered if we could find about somebody in the community to donate 8 horses for us to ride in the parade next year instead of cars. Otherwise, nothing to report.
Mustangs.
I'm in.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm in.
Well, so it's going out to Steph. Mr. Worthen? Okay. Mr. Osaki?
A couple items real quick. Planning Commission met last night. Probably the one new item just to report out is that last night the Planning Commission got an introduction to low-impact development code amendments, which under the Clean Water Act, we and every other community needs to have some code provisions that accommodate low-impact development. And we need to get those code amendments done by the end of this year. So they'll be working through the Planning Commission and then land before the council sometime, maybe in November or possibly December. So that's a key item that's being worked on right now. The other item is this afternoon, the downtown stakeholder committee is working with our consultant on the Main Street organization. We had a meeting with the downtown stakeholder committee this afternoon. They got a briefing on the results of some of the public outreach. That survey we had online had about 300 responses, which quite honestly is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's really good. So there's a general summary of the outreach. The consultant actually had an individual go visit 10 of the Hispanic businesses in downtown, speaking Spanish, and got some feedback from those businesses as well. But one of the items that the consultant really feels is important as an outcome of his recommendations is to make sure the Downtown Mineral Association and the Chamber of Commerce have clearly defined roles and responsibilities that don't overlap, and you're just not wasting energy trying to do the same thing or trying to compete against one another. And so the Chamber and the Chamber Board and the Downtown Mineral Association Board are going to meet in about 2 weeks together to kind of discuss and define those roles and responsibilities that each might have, with the hope that the consultant can finish up his report and give a presentation to council in October.
Okay, question. Is that meeting going to be facilitated by the consultant?
It'll be by the consultant.
Okay.
So I'm not even sure staff. I'm going to talk to him and see if he wants staff there or not. It's the consultant will be running the meeting.
Okay, sounds good. Any questions for Mr. Werther or Mr. Osaki?
Mr. Osaki forwarded an email to me yesterday, from a consultant here in town praising one of our employees, Chris. It was Christy Kyle. It's Christy Kyle. And so I haven't forwarded that to council yet, but I just thought I'd let you all know that we get a lot of very positive comments about our customer service, about our employees here, and that was one that that came in just yesterday from community development. So, you know, on behalf of the council and me, please let her know that we appreciate that. And Dave, that's a reflection on your leadership there. Thank you. Mr. Feilberg.
Your attention is directed to the public works report that's in your packet, so you can peruse that at your leisure. And the other one is that on Thursday and Friday, Lakeside will be out grinding Columbia, Elizabeth, Franklin's, Chain Lake Road, 173rd, and 181st. And then next week, if the weather holds, they'll be painting.
Excellent. Any questions for Mr. Feilberg? Councilmember Scarborough?
I did want to say one thing, and I gave this to Brad, and I'll give it publicly, that the company that did the water line and the repaving of Rivermont Drive East and West, I believe, did a fantastic job.
Okay.
A fantastic job of accommodating people to get them in and out of their homes while they were working. I had a couple that weren't happy, as is normal, I suppose. But from my point of view, they did everything they needed to do to accommodate what needed to be done up there, and they finished ahead of project time, which was fantastic as well.
Thank you. All right, anything further for Mr. Bauer? All right, let's come on up. Oh, Chief. Sorry, Chief Windsor. I was thinking, Mike's not here, so I was trying to figure out what to do about the Parks Report, and I completely... Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, it's great to be back, and of course, after what I went through, it's great to be any place. So, I think it's been a month and a half since I've been in a council meeting, but again, it's great to be back. I appreciate the city and everybody so much. This weekend, speaking of things to do, we had what was called Wings and Wheels, or Wheels and Wings, at the airport. It was organized by Officer Derek Leifer, and what it was a car show, an airplane show. We had vendors out there. We had live music. And it was far more successful than we ever dreamt. It was to raise money for Special Olympics, and we raised somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000, which is fantastic. And I want to give kudos to Derek again. He's been working on this for about 8 months, and it came together real well. Second thing is, today was Walk Your Child to School, and we participated along with the school district at 8 o'clock this morning, and we had, I don't know how many stations we had, but we handed out a lot of drinks and snacks for the children as they were going to the elementary schools, and once again, it's been very successful. We've been doing this for probably the last 12 to 14 years at least. And the football game on Saturday, what time does that start?
Starts at noon. Gates open at 11.
Okay. Is your doctor going to let you play, Chief?
Yeah. Well, bring the cane, he said. So,
I'm sorry, what did he say?
He said, I bring the cane.
Oh, you bring the cane.
Now, he's probably out there, star linebacker, for the cane, doing calling shots on the side.
Yeah, I've been away for a while, so that's why I had to ask you what the...
Any predictions? Police by 7, 14?
No, I think we have an issue here with the fire department absorbing...
Oh, that was the real reason.
When they amalgamated 7, and now they got a bunch of gorillas? Or
but, you know, I have to be honest. You know, we are members of the... North Sound Special Weapons and Tactical Steam, and we thought because of that we could probably persuade some of those gentlemen to participate. We do have several.
Nothing like loading them up.
Former players at the University of Washington. Hopefully it was when they were having good seasons.
Oh.
Anyway.
Like this year?
Pardon? Yeah, like this year. Okay.
All right, any questions for Petey?
Jeep?
So going up here, Gene, why don't you go ahead and do a quick update, and then I'll do my update, and we'll do that.
Just real quick, tomorrow evening I'll be participating in the Everett Community College Advisory Board meeting that they'll be having at Sturks at, say, 4, just to 6, so I'll see some of you there.
Yep.
And then just a reminder, the SCC dinner is on Thursday night, and that's at 5:30. So.
5:30. The dinner, it's at,
In the industrial park?
It's in the industrial park, yes. Yes, we're going to go eat in the industrial park.
What does that mean?
What's that?
The industrial park?
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be catered by?
By Chef Adam.
Okay.
And it's at
Joe Green's
Car Museum.
Jim Green's.
I'm sorry. Sorry, my bad.
So as we did before, where we had people go to the slaughterhouse, this time we are going to a car museum. Have any of you been there?
No.
Okay. It's really cool. There's a 50s style diner where we'll be eating on the inside. Lots of beautiful cars there, and Chef Adam will be serving. The topic is sound transit, which doesn't quite relate to us. So. Anyway, it'll be interesting to listen. I know some of us that work on the I-5 corridor could benefit from that. But go ahead. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. So just a couple updates from me. One, a big shout out, thank you to the Chamber of Commerce and all the volunteers and staff that helped put together the Fair Days Parade. As is always the case, it was a really awesome event, and it was great seeing everybody there. On Saturday, I had coffee with the mayor. I had one person show up. I've done this now 4 times. I've had as many as 10 people show up. This one was a lighter turnout. The person who came to speak to me was from Rainier View, that area, and wanted to talk to me about the Highway 2 bypass 522 and some of those other traffic-related road improvements. We talked a little bit about Blueberry also. And then I took a tour with somebody who's running for office in the 1st Legislative District. He owns property here in the area, and we talked about the importance of 522 and drove him around town to show him parts of town. Went to the Evergreen Hospital Gala on Saturday night. They brought in, I think, over $120,000. Councilmember Scarborough was there also.
$141,000
for a mobile mammography unit. So that was phenomenal, again, seeing how much money people raise for things that we need here in town. Gene and I met with Action, who H3O, the contract is now gone, it's expired, but H3O had mentioned in the email that they sent to us that a company called Action was interested in taking over their contract. We did meet with Action because they flew out here and talked to them just a little bit about what their thoughts were, and explained that the contract was expiring. So I told them that I myself kind of felt, and it is a policy choice of the council, that we needed to have, some time go by to assess whether or not this is something we still want for Lake Tai, and potentially talk with our Parks Advisory Board about it. So they seem to have a real interest in just using the existing contract that we have. And anyway, it was a nice meeting. H3O was there, and if any of you have any questions about that or want to follow up, just let me know. The big thing that we're working on right now is the budget. Our revenues are looking better into next year than they have in previous years. I had given direction to staff for a status quo budget. They've done an awesome job bringing that status quo budget to me, and it is balanced at status quo. Remember earlier this year we talked about different positions and different things we might do with banked capacity, and right now I'm going through the exercise of how much banked capacity do we want to use, or do I want to actually bring forward as a recommendation to you. Ultimately, it's your decision on how much to use. We've been looking at that. And then we were also looking at the what if for the garbage contract. And so, you know, just letting you know that we are working on that very actively over these couple weeks. And you will be receiving the mayor's recommended budget by October 1st, I think, is when you'll have it. But if you've got any questions in the meantime, feel free to let me know. And that's where that is. I am also in the course of all these things I've been doing, I keep bumping into people. Council Member Del Bene, that's great. Congresswoman Del Bene, bumped into her staff on Sunday at a September 11th event, and they wanted to meet with me to talk about the legislative agenda the council just passed back in August, so I am working on scheduling that meeting. I'm meeting with Executive Summers tomorrow to talk about the legislative agenda, and we have some things going on with 522 right now. There is a staff-oriented meeting, I think, on the 21st of September, and then we are beginning to get the details on a second meeting in October that I think is supposed to be a day-long engineering-oriented meeting about 522. So things continue moving with those items also. I'm trying to get information out of them by way of Brian Wall from Greenlight about when or if they anticipate having a community meeting so that community members can come in and look at drawings like we're trying to do with Blueberry in 191st, where members of the community can come in and take a look at what we've been working on and, you know, the different costs and the different options to help build that. So. And then Senator Pearson has requested to meet with me both to go over the legislative agenda and also to go over the incomplete landscaping in the roundabout on West Main on the other side of 522. Contractor came out, installed some landscaping in the roundabout, in one or two of the islands around it, but not everywhere, and it's grown over in weeds. And they're supposed to maintain that for 2 years, at the end of which we then take it over for maintenance. And so I'll be meeting with him hopefully in the next couple of weeks to clarify that. But that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay. Oh, Councilmember Hanford, sorry.
I thought that you were going to mail a letter to the Snohomish County about the roundabout.
Mail a letter for the roundabout. We mailed a letter to Pearson, Christensen, and Scott because it's a state issue.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was everybody's becoming a council member tonight. It's council member Pearson. It was Senator Pearson that said that he had read the letter, and he thought that we were responsible for it, and I think there was just a misunderstanding. So we're going to get together in person and drive out and look at it. Yeah. All right. Anything further? Council member Cutterback.
So the landscaping wasn't done properly?
It wasn't completed.
Okay.
And then it wasn't maintained. So in the circle itself,
yeah,
they installed the landscaping, and I'm not certain if they did the irrigation. I'm looking at Brad. But then they didn't come back and...
Huh?
Parks. Okay. Well, it's in your road. But they installed it in the roundabout, in the circle yeah. part of the roundabout, but they didn't come back out and maintain the weeding and everything. The other parts of it that are outside the circle itself, one or two of those got planted and is in the same condition as the middle, where they didn't do the maintain the land, you know, maintain the weeds, pull them. But there are other areas where they never did anything. And so it's just weeds.
Was there a landscaping bomb that was thrown out? And that You know, when you do construction, there's always a landscaping bond that is held. It might be $100,000 or it's usually.
Yeah, that's a DOT project, so you don't know.
So what?
But they're relationship with contractors.
Okay, so they're not held to the same, obviously.
I don't know.
But it might be wise to check if there was a landscaping bond done, if they're required that, and if that money was released. It's not typically released until the work is done and it's proven it's done and it's.
Yeah, my experience is that usually the government doesn't require bonds from the government. Other places, Redmond. I was in Redmond, and there was a county or a state project. I think it was a state project, and it was 202, and we were not allowed to collect a bond from them for landscaping.
Yeah, we don't have a bond, but it would be between the state and the contractor.
Yeah.
Oh,
they,
I see.
State law does not allow us to regulate the construction of highway projects. They have no permitting or anything from us.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we'll follow up with Pearson and DOT and see if we can get them to finish it. It was really weird. Once, after I talked to Pearson, I noticed that there was landscaping work occurring along 522 right next to it. And I was like, okay, did they get this confused? Because it should be right here, but they're doing right next to it. All right, anything else? All right, let's go on to the extended
draft agenda for September 20th, 2016. We'll be having a public hearing on the transfer of property to the fire district. We have the consent agenda under new business. We'll be discussing the amendment of the ordinance in regards to garbage collection that we talked about this evening. We'll be looking at the garbage contract with public services. Parks board regulation in regards to smoking and vaping in parks. We'll be discussing the portable stage option for parks and recreation. And approving Bear Mountain Estates final plat. Under final action, the authorized mayor to sign LOA purchase sale agreement, transfer of property to fire district, then council member reports. And right now, we do not have any topics for P4.
Councilmember Cutback.
Would that, for the plat, since what we approved tonight, would that be a first and second reading?
Yes.
So it'd be a final reading that night.
Okay.
Anything further on long range schedule?
Yep, P4, 20. P4 on the 20th.
Correct, but we don't have any topics right now, so if we don't hear from any, we will send notes.
Anything further, Councilmember Scarborough? Councilmember Cutback?
I will be absent for a trip for Chicago for work on October 11th. I will be at that meeting.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
And I will be out for a work trip as well on September 27th.
Are there any other questions for staff or for me? All right, there's no other business needed this evening. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Okay, there's a motion to adjourn the meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening, everybody.
Yeah, I don't know why.